From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this local and statewide news update. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is recommending that vulnerable people get a third booster dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. The idea is to help prevent serious infections in people with weakened immune systems. About 3% of the U.S. adult population is at risk for serious prolonged illness, according to CDC data. That's close to 10 million people. Mila Cosgrove, Juneau's incident commander, says given that it's a fairly narrow slice of the city's population, she's not worried about Juneau's vaccine supply. So who should take the third dose? The CDC has a list. It includes anyone who has been receiving active cancer treatments for tumor or cancers of the blood, anyone who has gotten an organ transplant and is taking immunosuppressants, anyone who has gotten a stem cell transplant within the last 2 years or are taking immunosuppressants, anyone who has moderate or severe primary immunodeficiency diseases, anyone with advanced or untreated HIV infections, or people who are actively being treated with high-dose corticosteroids or other drugs that may suppress their immune responses. The Moderna vaccine is approved for people 18 or older. The Pfizer vaccine is approved for people 12 or older. And the CDC recommends getting a booster dose of the vaccine 4 weeks after the second dose. The agency also says that people should try to get a third shot of whatever their first round of shots was, but if that's not available, an additional dose with another vaccine is okay. Earlier this week, the Food and Drug Administration also authorized an additional dose of some vaccines, but because there isn't enough data, the FDA didn't extend its authorization to include the single-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Anyone who is 12 years old or older is eligible to get a COVID vaccine. In Juneau, call 907-586-6000 or go to juneau.org/vaccine to make an appointment. And this year's dividend for Alaska residents is at zero due to legislative disputes that remain unresolved ahead of a third special session of the year. A budget plan in June called for a roughly $1,100 dividend, but it used funds from various sources, including a reserve that requires three quarters of lawmakers in both the House and Senate to access. The vote failed, leaving the dividend at $525. Governor Mike Dunleavy called that amount a joke and vetoed it. There isn't a bill on the special session agenda for a dividend this year. Dunleavy's office says he wants lawmakers to address a long-term resolution to the perennial dividend debates. An Alaska Native comic artist will release a book heavily influenced by stories passed down to him by his grandmother. KNBA's Trip Krause talks to the creators of Chickaloonies about why representation in comics is so important.
Growing up in Alaska, Demi Maharis loved drawing and illustrating and comic books. Maharis is Atna and a citizen of the Chickaloo Native Village and was born in Anchorage and grew up around the Mat-Su. As a kid, he says he was obsessed with animals taking on human characteristics.
And I found a connection there with the traditional stories that grandma passed down, because she would explain that, you know, the animals and humans could talk and that they'd have human characteristics.
Maharis says he would illustrate his grandma's stories and she would encourage him.
How we got the sun and the moon, and she would, you know, describe Raven as being, you know, unkempt and kind of mischievous and always up to no good. And so draw him kind of lying around being lazy with pizza boxes kind of strewn about. It wasn't like how you might traditionally view it, but grandma like really encouraged it.
Maharis would find a love for comic books, anime, and manga. He says that when his grandmother passed away, his mother began doing more storytelling, and he began illustrating those stories, and they eventually made their way through the education department at the Chickaloon Village.
And those kind of like took off. They were very successful, especially with the help of my mom, who would take those images and bring them to classrooms around Alaska and share our stories with classrooms full of kids with the lights down and the projector up with the images, the illustrations behind her. So there's an entire generation of kids up there who would have otherwise maybe never heard or, you know, realized the, you know, the history and the stories of the land that they live on.
Maharis's mom, Patricia Wade, passed away in 2014. Eventually, Maharis moved to Seattle to pursue his dream of illustrating, where he met Casey Silver and formed their comic book studio, 80% Studios.
I don't know. I feel like in my own way, I'm trying to evolve that storytelling thing to the next level. And Chickaloonies is like, that's what this is kind of evolving that storytelling legacy.
Silver grew up in Rhode Island and moved to Seattle in 2006.
you know, and I think that this project that we're doing now, Chickaloonies, is really the best thing that we've done. And it's something that I think is the most probably accessible of what we've done. And I'm just really excited to share it with everybody.
Chickaloonies follows the journey of two Alaska Native characters living in perpetual darkness. They leave their village for the first time on a quest to become the greatest storytellers ever. Guided by teachings from their grandma, the two characters explore foreign worlds and learn from new cultures.
But it's a real, like, fun coming-of-age story, kind of in the vein of, like, Dragon Ball or Avatar The Last Airbender, where we really wanted to bring together the ideas of like, storytelling of legends, language, magic, you know, really bring these themes together into a story that, at the first and foremost, is entertaining, but is also, you know, educational, makes people aware of, you know, not only their own culture, but of cultures that exist throughout the world and how similar we all are and yet different at the same time.
For Maharis, one of the challenges and many inspirations was how to tell nonlinear traditional stories in a comic book style, a format that is linear.
One of the main inspirations for this book, we wanted to tell an Alaska Native style story in kind of more in a more modern way. And we're still learning how to tell that kind of a story, you know, being inspired by the traditional stories, the Yanida'a stories that grandma told growing up.
Maharis says that representation was an important and central focus of the project.
Alaskan Native kids are underrepresented in pop culture and comic books. I'm looking forward to be able to give something back to the place I grew up, to my culture. And my hope is that it shows this culture is alive and is thriving, and it can make really interesting modern stories and modern art. This is just kind of taking, you know, taking the culture and the heritage and finding a new way to put a new spin on it. I really do hope that it inspires, you know, kids.
The name Chickaloonies comes from when Maharis's mom called all the kids Chickaloonies because they were all crazy kids from Chickaloon. To find more information, go to facebook.com/80percentstudios or instagram.com/80percentstudios. In Anchorage, I'm Trip Krause.
A shipwreck from decades ago has begun leaking diesel fuel off Kodiak Island. Environmental officials say last month's massive earthquake may have disturbed the wreck's resting place at the bottom of Women's Bay. Jade Gamble, the state's on-scene spill coordinator, said Friday that it's not clear how much diesel and other contaminants are on the former fishing vessel, St. Patrick.
It started leaking after the earthquake. We've been responding along with the Coast Guard, and right now we are collecting information on that vessel, and they've been able to minimize the leak. But right now we're going at it. Now that it's minimized, our main goal is to ensure we don't have some type of catastrophic release.
The former scallop boat was hit by a rogue wave during a stormy November night in 1981 near Marmot Island. The captain ordered the crew to abandon ship. Only two of its 12 members survived. The crippled 138-foot vessel was adrift in rocky seas for several days before being towed to shore and anchored in Women's Bay. The tragedy was the subject of lawsuits filed by survivors and families of the victims. The vessel later sank in 1989. And authorities say the first reports of a sheen were received less than a week after the earthquake. The Coast Guard flew over August 6th and confirmed what appeared to be a spill in about 30 feet of water. A contractor is on scene helping with containment. But whether the July 28th earthquake could have disturbed the shipwreck isn't clear. Alaska Earthquake Center seismologist Natalia Rupert says modeling shows Women's Bay was largely unaffected by the July 28th earthquake.
Kodiak didn't experience anything significant damage or structural damage, and this shipwreck being even farther away. I guess it's possible, but it's just hard to tell.
The Coast Guard says it's not clear who the responsible party would be, as the vessel doesn't appear to have an owner. It has activated the Oil Spill Liability Trust Fund and continues to monitor the situation. The 8.2 earthquake that struck on July 28th was the state's largest in more than a half century. Its epicenter was about 260 miles southwest of St. Patrick's resting place in Kodiak's Women's Bay. And let's just take a quick look at the weather. We are under a flood advisory that was issued at about 9 a.m. this morning. Tonight, Lots of rain showers, lows in the mid-50s, southeast winds to 15 miles an hour with gusts around 40 miles an hour. Saturday, still numerous rain showers, highs around the 60s, and light winds might be a little bit better for that derby. That's the latest from the KTOO Newsroom. I'm Rasha McChesney.